Call the meeting to order. Rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
7:10 PM.
To the flag of the United States of America. The Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And noted at 7:10 that we started. We will go with roll call, please.
Mr. Joseph DiMartino.
Here.
Ms. DeGeniro.
Here.
Mr. D'Onofrio.
Here.
Ms. Wadomski.
Here.
Ms. Kurtika.
Here.
Mr. Sill.
Here.
Mr. Jim DiMartino.
Excuse.
Thank you. Mr. Hyder.
Here.
Mr. Sampson.
Here.
Quorum.
All right, thank you, Patty.
Number four,
public portion. Anybody from the public would like to speak? Anybody from the public would like to speak? Third and last call. Hearing none. We're going to move on to number five, public hearing on draft report of proposed revisions to the Charter of the City of Derby. Here are all parties who wish to speak on a draft report of the Charter Revision Commission date August 5th, 2020. So, do we need a motion to move it forward?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second, Barbara.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So carried. All right. So this is a public hearing for the draft report. Any parties that would wish to speak on behalf of this? I guess just have to state their name and address for the record. And then we'll hear you out. So anybody would like to speak?
Mr. Mayor, my name is Mark Garfalo. I'm 95 Academy Hill Road, Derby. I'm the town clerk. And there's a couple issues that I would like to ask for your consideration on. They're just clarification points, but I just want them to be part of the record. As we were reviewing the charter, there were 5 points that I just wanted to bring up so that it's clarified and this board and the Charter Revision Commission can deliberate on them. In old section 11, which is new section 10, there was some discussion to take out the appointment of the tax collector in there, but if you take that out, then it doesn't say where the tax collector is appointed, so I believe that needs to stay in there. And also, old section 35, old section 37, which is new section 35, also that was changed, so there's it's not really clear then who would appoint the tax collector, so I think we just need to revisit that to get what it is that we wanted. Also, in old section 63, which is new section 61, regarding bond forms, there is a typographical error on line 2. It says jaw, and it should say law. On old section 67, new section 65, talks about Board of Education and Fiscal Affairs. I spoke to the finance director on this, and there's a word that refers to the clerk, which was the old position of city clerk, and that should be replaced with finance director. That's on line 2. And then April should be replaced with February in line 5 to be in line with the other changes that were made to the charter. And then finally, Mr. Mayor, in old section 89, which is new section 87, the last sentence can be deleted. Talks about the rotation of the fire, of when the rotation of the fire chiefs would start, which was 2003. So that last line is not necessary anymore. So that could be deleted if you want to consider that. So I thank the members of the commission for doing a great job and the hard work that they put in. And also to the members of the board, I know you're taking a lot of time to deliberate on these things. And wish you well in your deliberation on this. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mark. All right, anybody else from the public
Keith McLaverty, Interim Finance Director. Good evening, everyone. Okay, I heard it. I just concurring that Mr. Garfalo and I spoke on Section 15, Lines 2 and 5, and I agree with those changes that he is proposing. Thank you.
Section 15. Section 15.
Yeah, the new Section 15.
Oh, the new 15. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, the new 15, Line 2 and 5.
No, it's actually, I'm sorry, just to correct.
Yeah, I don't think, yeah.
It's actually a new 65, old 67.
65, 65. My apologies.
Yeah, right, apologies. Okay.
65.
Thank you. Can I ask a question for just information at this point? So are we as the board able to make our comments during our draft report? Because I found a few too that were probably not addressed. So that would make sense.
I think it would make sense to have it come during your part of it after you close the public hearing.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, Mark Garfalo, one more time. I'm sorry. I want to add to my comments. The substantive changes that are proposed are a matter for your consideration, but there are a number of things that are what I would call cleanup issues and non-controversial issues, even if they're not cleanup. And I would encourage your endorsement and support of those because it will clarify things in the charter. And again, those are things that I think we would all probably agree are not controversial and cleanup in nature. So from my perspective as town clerk, it makes it a cleaner document going forward. The substantive issues are for your deliberation. Those are separate kinds of issues. And I know it's not easy, but those other ones are important, and hopefully they could be combined in one question as a kind of a consent question, but anything that really there's no objection to. Thank you again.
Thank you, Mark. Would anybody else like to speak during the public portion? Anybody else like to speak during the public portion? Third and last time. Okay, hearing none. I motion that we close the public hearing.
I'll make a motion, Camille.
Thank you, Camille. Do I have a second?
Second, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Staying, so carry. All right, move on to number 6, draft report from Charter Revision Commission, discussion and possible action on draft report of proposed revision of the Charter of the City of Derby. Do you have a motion?
So moved, Rob.
Thank you, Ron. Do I have a second?
Second, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. All discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same? So carried. All right.
So, Mr. Mayor, I don't see a corporation counsel here, but I just wanted to kind of lay out what we had discussed pursuant to the general statutes. As you know, the commission met. They held a public hearing before they started any substantive work. They considered all the things that you gave in their charge, and they have come up, and then they had another public hearing when they basically finished the bulk of their work, and then they adopted a draft report of the revisions of the charter. So pursuant to that, then they voted on that on August 5th, 2020, and they forwarded that to the office of the town clerk, and I forwarded it to you, and you had one meeting on it last week, and now you had a second public hearing today, and to deliberate. So the process is You have to look at the proposed revisions, and you could either agree with them or don't. If you don't agree with them, then they go back to the Charter Revision Commission, and they can either agree or propose it back again. So there's this back and forth period of time. So I think it makes sense for you to go through each section, and where there's explanation, members of the commission or corporation counsel or myself are happy to explain from our perspective, and there's certainly enough members of the commission here that could jump in, led by Mr. Hyder. And as you know, your colleagues, Mr. Alderman Hyder and Alderwoman Kurtica were on the commission, so they can speak directly to it as well. And then we can record those, and then if there are any other objections, would go back to the Charter Revision Commission, and they would have to have a meeting to discuss those as well. So, Mr. Mayor, I yield, yield to your how you want to do this.
Sounds good. All right, so I think we should go through section.
So is Vin not here? Vin is not here.
Way through.
I'm gonna call him and test to see what. Alderwoman DeGennaro, I will call him and see what the story is. But we can the recording, and we can get that squared away, so you can do that, and he can jump in when he is available.
Mayor, I think there was a little a disconnect on when you were speaking. Are we going to go through each individual section and discuss as we go forward, rather than look at the individual questions?
I'm sorry, the individual questions.
I'm sorry.
No, I would not recommend going through the questions. I would recommend going through each section.
Each section, correct. That's what I would propose as well.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that makes sense to go through each section.
We have that page that Mark had dropped off, so it's it outlines all the changes that were discussed at each section.
And the other thing too is I based on my experience, and I think if Mr. McClivity is still here and those who have served on charter revisions before, the questions are really the last part of the process. Once after you figure out what you all agree on, and then you could decide what the questions are. Because if you don't agree on anything, then there aren't any questions. So, and how they're framed and whatever, that's something that you can analyze and certainly put your thoughts into. But it probably makes sense to kind of know what the scope of the items or revisions are before you try to get involved in crafting a question.
I would agree with Mr. Garfalo.
All right, perfect. All right, so we'll start with the first question.
No, not the question, the section. Section, Mayor.
I apologize. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Section one.
I suppose it's probably good for somebody to kind of lead it.
How about I'll do it, Nate. You want me to do it? I can do it if you want. If to just go to section number four.
Go ahead.
That's the first one. Unless somebody found something in the first three that need to be changed.
Okay.
Negative.
Okay. So the first one is section four. Changing the terms of the offices from 2 to 4. So one of the questions I had for Vin was that the addition to, besides the, not the term, but the change of the name, which starts here from the Alderman, Alderwoman to Alders. That's not my question for him, but the addition of section D regarding being a resident here. And it was always my understanding that in the end of section A of four
when it said you were qualified, that meant you were a candidate, you were a resident, a candidate, and you were elected. So I don't know why there's a necessity for D. And I thought that state statute controlled your residency to be a candidate. So that's what I found that I want to talk about. But Vin isn't here to ask him about that state statute.
I called, but he did not pick up the phone, so.
Okay.
I think that was just more of a clarification point when we discussed this as part of the commission. We discussed what it defines a qualified candidate. So I think Section D clarifies that. So it was just more of an addition just to clarify what you just mentioned in Section A.
Okay. Does anybody have any comments about the 4 or 2 years? I honestly think we have a hard time finding 2 candidates for 2 years. I don't have an issue with whether it becomes 2 or 4. You know, the public is, if we change it, the public is going to be the ones who votes on it. But that's my only thought on it, is that we have a hard time finding candidates to run as it is. So that's just my thought on that.
Well, it's hard enough to find good candidates for 2 years. Try to get, you know, if you get somebody gets elected and he's not a good candidate, now we're stuck with them for 4 years.
Well, what constitutes not a good candidate?
I think I was what the one that... I put this forward.
What if they don't do their job?
Well, that happens in 2 years, too. Like we said, we can't get candidates to run every 2 years. So if you had them in there for 4 years, they're good candidates. People don't volunteer for anything usually today unless they really want to get involved. And you pick the right people to run. You got to do that if there was 2 years or if it was 5 years.
Okay, well...
I think rather than looking for qualified candidates every 2 years, this makes it a little easier on the town committees to do it every 4 years rather than every 2 years.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, Tom, you remember when we first ran, I had to beg and borrow to get you on to go, and you finally did it. So it is like Rob just said, it's tough to get candidates to come up. And I think it's easier every 4 years to try to get somebody. And for also, like, if people aren't doing it, people have resigned before and we replaced those positions. So I don't think there's an issue there.
Alderwoman De Janeiro, it seems Ms. Attorney Marino is joined the meeting.
He is on the meeting? Is that what you said? He's joining?
Yes. Yeah, and just for the record also, I just to acknowledge that the members of the Charter Revision Commission who are also here are Mr. Hyder, Mrs. Kurtica, Mr. McCluster, Mr. LaRoque, Mr. Malerba, Mr. Capiello, and Mr. Smay.
All right, so when Vin gets on, I just want to ask him about that state statute qualification. But while we're on this section, I mean, I don't know what the board, everybody else on the Board of Aldermen's feeling is about changing the name Alderman, Alderwomen to Alders. I don't like that change. We discussed that 2 years ago for charter revision to change. And that's when we changed from Alderman to / Alderwomen. We did, at that time, the board considered Alders. I do not like that change, me personally. I don't know the rest of the board.
Joe DiMartino, I don't like that change either. I'd like to keep it Alderman, Alderwoman.
How long ago was that just changed?
2 years ago.
Oh, just 2 years ago?
No, it was.
The last charter revision.
The last one.
Yeah, last charter revision.
The last one, sorry.
It was like, it was probably like four or five, but not long. It was the last one.
Well, we can, you're gonna vote on each one, or you, how you gonna?
Yeah, you should vote on how you, I mean, what you wanna either accept it or reject it. Or, and if you don't want it, then you could, or if you have a change, you could suggest that too to the board, to the commission.
Well, I make the suggestion, and nobody else is speaking up, so. And I don't want to, honestly, I want to sit here for 4 hours doing this. So we have to kind of like, you know, move along. So I make a suggestion that we keep that language, alderman, alderwoman, in the charter. That's my suggestion, that we keep it and recommend that back to the charter revision. And I'd say that in the form of a motion, if it has to be in the motion. I thought it was just a recommendation, but.
Joe DiMartino, I'll second that.
Mark, does it have to be voted on, like all these changes, or do we just send the changes back to the commission, committee?
I think.
Well, assuming there's a majority, so I think you have to vote to see if there's a majority of whatever you're, you know, this or whatever issue, you know, if there's consensus.
Come on, people.
Hello?
So I made my motion. I made the motion that
Attorney Marino is trying to speak. There's a motion, and you had a second.
I'm sorry. I just was able to figure out my technological snafu. So just, I wanted to let you know I was present if you need me.
Okay.
Let's finish the vote on what we just did.
Yeah, that's a pretty straightforward one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I make a motion that we
first
recommend.
First and second, all in favor?
Yep.
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
So period.
That's Rob opposed.
All right, one opposed.
Okay, before we leave this section, Vin.
Yes.
Section four, the addition of the language about a candidate, person who becomes elected that's qualified. Isn't there a state statute that automatically says if they're a resident of the city that they're eligible for election and they become the qualified elected official?
Yeah, it's the statute. It's a resident elector. So in order to be qualified, you have to be a resident elector, which means you,
right.
you reside in the community, and not necessarily your domicile. So you could have more than one residence, but your residency is in the city, which would be the qualification. The concern with that provision was less about when you were running for office. But subsequent to taking office, if you were to move out of town, or if you were to move between, you know, the different wards, so that there was less ambiguity about what the qualification was. You have to be a resident.
Okay.
Because there's always, in a lot of municipalities, there's always that question, you know, someone's been serving on the board for 2 years or 20 years, and they're moving this coming September, you know. But the charter is somewhat ambiguous as to that language. This was just really to try to clarify and tighten that up.
Okay. Okay, so then I will make a motion to recommend to the Charter Commission to keep Section D in Section 4.
I'll second that, Sarah.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Jack? Abstain.
Okay, we need a motion about the 4 2 years.
Yeah.
Charlie Sampson, I make a motion that we change the language to serve every 4 years instead of two.
Okay, I got a motion. Do I have a second?
Second, Rob.
Okay, Rob. Discussion? Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Joe DiMartino.
Who is that?
Joe.
I let call.
Tom DiNofrio.
Okay. Roll call.
Okay, roll call, please. Yep, I'm getting it. Ms. DeGennaro.
Yes.
Mr. DiNofrio? No.
No.
Yes. Ms. Wadowski?
Yes.
Mr. Joseph DiMartino?
No.
Ms. Kurtica? Ms. Kurtica?
I agree with what Barbara's been saying.
Excuse me, I didn't hear that.
So is that a yes for the 4 years as opposed to two?
Right.
Yes.
Yep, okay. Mr. Sill?
Yes.
Mr. Heider?
Yes.
Mr. Sampson?
Yes.
Quorum. Yep, you got it.
Okay.
Gary.
You too. All right. All right, move to the next one now.
What a fish. What a fish whopper.
What?
What's a fish whopper, Tommy?
All right.
Term of art.
Excuse me?
Okay, are we ready to move on? Let's see. Section five.
So, section five, clarification of language. Agencies.
My feeling on section five is that I'm not quite sure why we removed anything, because when I read the change, the question that pops up to me is what constitutes a vacancy, when the language was there that kind of says what a vacancy is. And that was my one thing. And number two, I certainly don't I understand putting in the language of legislative authority throughout the charter to make it, you know, easier, I guess, but I don't think that this is the section to refer to the Board of Aldermen as the legislative authority in the vacancy paragraph. So somewhere else defining that, putting that, you know, here and after referred to as language, maybe when you get to the section that talks about the Board of Aldermen's powers, when you certainly could say just what I said and as previously here and before mentioned in the charter. I don't think it fits here, and I just don't understand why we took out that language of vacancy.
Yeah, I would refer to Corporation Counsel.
Yes, so I'm sorry, I'm trying to pull up my red line version, which I got to change my view. But on this one, basically what we're saying is instead of repeating, it really was a trying to tighten up the language. Barbara, I understand what you mean. And like, hey, why tighten it up if, like, what is a vacancy? I didn't find the word vacancy as being terribly ambiguous. You know, do you need to say vacant because of death, vacant because of, you know, resignation, vacant because of, you know, various things? Or can you simply say vacant? When is the office vacant? Well, if someone dies, if someone moves out of town, if someone resigns. So that was... It was really trying to minimize the words.
Okay.
If you think it's stronger to leave it as is, this was not intended to change the meaning of the section. It was simply, you know, we were looking at it saying, is there a way that we can tighten it up?
Yeah, I understand what was done. Yep.
And so, you know, either way, if you leave it as is, or if you make the change, again, the change was not intended to change the meaning of the section.
And also, you could possibly just say any vacancy in any elective office. Get rid of a few more words if you want. No, it says any city office or any city or ward officer.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Yeah.
Well, it's old language because of the way the charter was before, but really any vacancy in any elective office covers it. But that's up to you.
That's true. That would be a further tightening of it. You know, we were simply, just because throughout the charter, it does use the phrase city office, and it uses city or ward officer. That's why we left that in there. But Mark's suggestion would be a way of further tightening it. And to your point on legislative authority, as you know, that was the first time.
First time it's mentioned.
Mentioned. That's why I put it there. But it's not intended on defining what legislative authority is. It's just really defining Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, as the legislative authority.
My concern is that somebody, unless they look in the vacancy paragraph, they're not going to see that. So that's how I looked at it, Ben. I looked at it as that unless you go to that paragraph, you're not going to know where that, you're going to have to really go back to find who is the legislative authority. That's why I thought defining it further down when we talked about Board of Aldermen and you know, here and before mentioned as well, language would help with that.
Well, no, you're right. This is not a document that is going to necessarily be read like a book. This is a document that is referenced, right? So someone may never look at Section 5. They may only go to Section 20. So, you know, the simplest or maybe the better way, but there's not terribly too many definitions here, is to define it up front. You know, if we were going to define it so that someone would know that they would refer to the definition section up front.
We don't have a definition section, right.
But the first time the Board of Aldermen is mentioned, Board of Aldermen / Alderwomen are mentioned in Section 4,
20,
in the election.
4,
So it might be the best way to put it in that section in the elections part, because that's first. Because I think we all would agree that there's no easy way to do that. But from a very practical standpoint, and for a way to save money for the city and just make it consistent throughout, if you put legislative authority and then refer back to it, if it ever changed in the future, you don't have to, because every time there's a change, in all these sections where it says Board of Aldermen / Alderwomen, if you change it, you have to publish each section. So that's why it looks like there's all these sections are being changed. But really, you're just changing Board of Aldermen / Alderwomen if you changed it. But this way, in the future, you wouldn't have to do that. It would be consistent going forward, regardless of what the name of the legislative body is.
Although, Mark, if they rejected the change of name, I thought I saw on your list that suggestion was rejected?
Correct.
Then we don't have to define it this go around because all those sections of the charter are not being changed.
Fair enough.
That's true.
So we can strike.
Yeah, that's true.
We can strike the legislative authority reference and the definition and just leave it all as Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen. And if in the future it is ever redefined, we could address it at that point. And so we could just strike that that reference in Section 5 to legislative authority and Board of Alders.
think that makes sense.
That's right.
Everyone agree with that?
Absolutely. Yep.
That'll save us a lot of sections to deal with.
So, where are we?
We're on the language of what the vacancy language, and the I would say that whether or not it's into to
I guess you would take the clarification part first. Do you want to do that?
Right. This one is about the clarification language. Okay.
All right. So what do you need?
We need a motion here.
Okay. If you want to accept it, and do you want to tighten it up further to say any vacancy in any elective office? What's the pleasure of the board?
You're referring to the first sentence, correct, Mark?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
And then delete and add what was added by the commission. If that's what you want, I don't, that's up to you.
Yeah. What's the pleasure of the board?
So I guess we need a motion. So I'll make a motion that we accept the change in the first sentence to any vacancy in any elective office. Delete the section that has been striked through. Add the underlined sections without changing the Board of Aldermen, Alderwin, and defining hereinafter referred to as the Board of Alders or legislative authority.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second, Ron.
Second, that's, yeah, okay.
All right, further discussion? Hearing none.
The legislative authority is coming out, right? The legislative authority, wait, man, hang on. Yep, okay.
Yes, correct.
Okay, yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. So carried.
And Mark, just so you're aware, I am modifying the red line so that when I send you a next draft, it'll be a red line of what the alderman agreed to, and anything that was not agreed to will go back to its original text.
Perfect. And I'm keeping, besides this spreadsheet, I'm keeping handwritten notes, so we'll have a double check to make sure that we're all on the same page.
All right. Fill that box. I got notes. Reject.
Yeah, no. I mean, good to have as many eyeballs on it. We're good to go.
Yep. All right.
All right. So changes, future reference, Board of Alders. Like I said, just work. So we're pushing that.
So that's this line here of the changing the future references is rejected in that motion. Okay. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. We'll go down to, let me see, section nine, mayor. Designation of mayor as a full-time position?
No. You have to go to what section? Be the next section?
It's the section it's nine. The old section nine, mayor.
Nine. Yeah,
that big part.
Our list of nominees.
Yeah, now, why was that taken out?
So the recommendation to delete this was only because it's a statutory obligation for the nominee list to be submitted. So it was superfluous language.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. And I make a motion that we delete section 9.
Second, Charlie.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstained? So carried. Next term for mayor. Designation of mayor as a full-time position. We have a motion.
So moved.
I have a question first. Oh, who made that?
Who made the motion?
Who made the motion?
I'm sorry, that was Rob.
Second.
I'll second it so we can have a discussion.
Yep, discussion.
So Barbara, you had a question?
So my only concern is that how do we define what full-time means? I mean, this is just saying the position of mayor shall be full-time. So it's something that the Board of Aldermen make, yep.
There was some discussion, and Rob might chime in on this also. There was some discussion on this subject at the Charter Review Commission level. And I kind of opined, you know, you can call it whatever you want. You can call it double time, if you will. And it doesn't drive the salary. The Board of Aldermen have to look at that independently. And it's an elected position. So if the mayor, you know, arguably it's a position that's 24/7, 365, regardless of how you define it. Right. So you can have a successful candidate that never shows up to work. And if that be the case, what are you going to do? He or she is an elected official. You could have, you know, there's no right to remove an elected official. There's no recall in the state of Connecticut, except in three communities that were issued that by special acts hundreds of years ago. So it's somewhat, I think, sends the message that if you're going to run for this position, it's a full-time job. But I think that's self-evident by the position. You know, and the mayor may say it's not a full-time job. It's a time and a half job, or it's a three-time job. You know, the job is the job. So, but the intent here was to really just put a spotlight on that it's expected to be your full-time job.
Because right now it's considered a part-time job, and this would clarify it.
Yeah, people consider it a part-time job, but the charter doesn't spell it out. So we're just essentially trying to end that age-old question that or debate whether it's full-time or part-time by spelling it out.
Exactly, but you know, you're not otherwise changing the role. You're just saying it's a full-time job. It doesn't mean it doesn't mean that the person can't have a job in addition to that.
And then the aldermen determine the salary.
Correct. That's which is independent.
Right.
So I understand that. I just think that I could see it happening, you know, a year down the road. Says, what does this mean? But I'm not. I just wanted it, you know, the thoughts, and I'm. That's fine. And. I know that there's there's one change at the end of section 9, a typo, so the all that's underlined. Well, right. If anybody else has anything.
Right.
Yep.
So in this section, do you want to, there is just one other, so it's the full-time position, and then the charter I thought was a little ambiguous in that it says he or she shall have the power to administer oaths, to sign contracts, deeds, and other instruments. Technically, you know, that suggests that the mayor independently has the authority to sign a contract. But I think.
Can I ask who's speaking, please?
It's Vin Marino.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I think you all would agree that the Board of Aldermen approved the contracts and authorized the mayor to sign.
Right, right.
So that's why the language to sign as approved by the Board of Aldermen, all the women. Contracts, deeds, etc. That's why that was included, just to add clarification.
Okay.
I have to ask this clarification. So what you're saying then is we can make the mayor's job full-time, give him a raise, and then if he's a one, he doesn't have to come in at all, and then we can't do nothing about it because he's an elected position?
That's correct.
Is that what you said?
That is correct. I mean, he's... Technically, you know, this is the the minefield of, is an elected official an employee? No, an elected official is an elected official. And what right are you going to have, whether it be the town clerk, the mayor, I'm trying to think of someone else who may be paid, that they're receiving a salary, but they don't show up to work. You're not paying them overtime if they work 100 hours in a given week, and you don't have the right to remove them from office. Now, you can call them before your body. You can censure them. You know, you can take steps to kind of call them out, if you will, but you don't, it's not like you're creating an employee file and setting them up for termination.
We didn't know that, and I don't think the public's going to like that too much. So, all right.
Well, that's always been the case. You don't have the right of recall.
No, but I think we should keep it as a part-time position and pay them $40,000, whatever it is. It's better to pay someone $40,000 than $80,000 if they turn bad. If we don't have a right to tell them what to do, then what's the sense of making it a better position?
I mean, the argument would be, not everyone agrees with what's going on in the White House, and we're paying $400,000 for that, right? But if you don't like it, then you address it at your ballot. You're going to address it at your ballot. But whether But you can debate the salary. The salary, you can go up to $80,000. You can go up to $180,000, and you can bring it down to $40,000. That's in your discretion.
That's the whole
point of information.
Yes, sir.
Carl McCluster on the Charter Revision Committee. I think that because the city, because the alder men and alder women, Board of Alders, has the ability to control salary, it is the expectation that we want a person that's full time. And if the alders see that that's not what's happening in terms of true fact, then we would expect them to act accordingly. I think that's inherent in the suggestion that comes forward. There's the knowledge that the control over salaries with the Board of Alders. The desire of the Charter Revision Committee is to encourage a full-time person with the prudence of the Board of Alders overseeing that process in part through salary.
And there's nothing that stops you from, the Board of Aldermen could raise the salary even if the charter's not changed, because I don't want to correct anybody, but it was said twice that it's a part-time position. The only thing that's part-time about the mayor's position is the salary. It doesn't say part-time in the charter.
Well, it doesn't.
In fairness to the salary, Mark, I think that's an opinion. Some might say, you know, $40,000 is a full-time job. You know, I don't think, you know, we could all sit back and say the mayor's salary should be adjusted to reflect what a full-time person employed by the city of Derby administration is making. But whether you pay him a dollar or you pay him or her $200,000, it's you're setting that salary based upon what you think the position is worth. I would also, just for clarification, and I would need to look into this a little bit, but generally, when you set a salary for an elected office, I believe that salary holds for the term of the office. I don't think you raise or deduct or raise or lower a salary midterm.
Right.
That's right. I think we've had that discussion
before.
That's
my point.
Yeah, I think you can't. Right.
And that's my actual point. Okay.
So just do it with understanding. But in fairness to the question, in fairness to the change, I don't think it's meaningful except for the optics of the messaging of what the Charter Revision Commission was trying to send, and that is that the city of Derby expects whoever is holding that office to do it with a full-time, in the spirit of it being their full-time position. And I think that was the purpose of it, not about salary, not about anything other than attention. But it's a conundrum that you find yourself in, Tom, and I understand that.
Any more questions on that?
I would simply say that through the extensive debate that happened within the Charter Revision Committee, it was clear by overwhelming majority that the idea of having a person as a full-time mayor is the expectation of would be the expectation of the city if the city approves and votes this. And I think that drives everything from there. You know, if someone is spoken of in charter as full time and is expected to and runs as a person who's going to be full time, then to then not fulfill that would be something that none of us would ever expect to happen. We didn't say, what if the person says they're going to be full time and is running as a full-time, the charter says full-time, and then they try to do it half-time, because I guess the expectation is the electorate would not put such a person in place.
I think we define it as a part-time job now. That's the problem, and it's always been defined as a part-time. Easy just to look at the salary of the mayor and look at the salary of the assistant. What does that tell you?
It's not defined at all, Ron, in the charter. The charter is mute. But we believe it to be that way. And that's the way we pay it.
Perception, right?
Right.
So this would identify it. This would.
Well, we're going to sit here and mull over. Somebody's going to have to.
Yeah.
Somebody has to remove their motion to push this forward and make a motion that would make sense to change section 10 to 9 and the wording that we wanted to say.
There was a motion by Mr. Hyder and Mr. DiMartino.
Now, the only motion was to change it to a full-time position, but there's more sections in here, typographical errors. We could get all done in one motion.
Right. So maybe what you do is if you're inclined to go in the direction of the recommendation, it would be a motion to amend old section 10 as presented, which there are, for purposes of the record, there are three proposed changes. One is identifying the position as full-time. One is clarifying that the authority to sign contracts, deeds, and other instruments is based on the approval of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen. And then the final one is the correction of a typographical error.
Perfectly said.
I'll withdraw my original motion to vote on just the mayor being full-time and change that motion to describe the position of the mayor as full-time, also add the approved by the legislative body for the mayor to sign contracts, deeds, and other instruments, and also the typographical error at the bottom.
Hey, do I have a second?
I'll second that, Sarah.
Okay, Sarah, any more discussion?
Just a friendly correction, not legislative body, just Board of Aldermen, Board of Aldermen. I'm sorry, Aldermen, Alderwomen.
I got that, Charlie.
Okay, thanks.
All right. More discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Who's that? Tom?
Tom Donald.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Mayor, before we go any further, it's Barbara, before we go any further,
yes.
Just so the board, I believe I'm correct when I say this, we're voting on what they brought us, and
right.
We're sending it back. It's going to come back to us again for approval or rejection or a vote. So just keep that in mind as we discuss right now. So it's not carved in stone yet, because it's going back, and then it's going to come back to us before we get to form the question.
And it goes to the citizens.
Okay, everybody got that? All right, so that passed. Next is appointment of officers, clarification of language, including start of term.
So if I may, just to kind of run you through it quickly, So we've changed the section from old 11 to new 10, just to keep the numbering straight. We deleted reference to the tax collector because the tax collector is part of a bargaining unit and is no, you know, so it's no longer an appointment. It's done through the bargaining agreement. So we deleted that. It would be an appointment upon a vacancy, but if the tax collector's position is filled when a new mayor takes office, the new mayor does not have that right of appointment any longer because of the CBA. We are just modifying, this is cleanup, changing it from the first Monday of January to the first Saturday of December, deleting the biennial reference to the city election and just saying the next city election, stating that the mayor is vested with the authority in his or her sole discretion to remove appointments by him or her for any reason, which decision is not subject to review. We're gonna delete the legislative authority because that's been rejected, and we're gonna leave it as the Board of Aldermen, Older Women, throughout the bottom of the paragraph. So I'll make those changes now. But I don't know if anyone has any questions about the changes in Section 10. The new Section 10.
Well, my comment regarding the change back to the Saturday in December, because when it changed years ago and it used to be the first Monday everybody took office, then it would change that the office, the elected officials took office on the Saturday in December. But how could a mayor who has to make these appointments, make any appointments until the mayor is sworn in? They're not sworn in till December. We looked at this, the last charter revision, and why that was not changed, because it gave the mayor the opportunity 30 days to fill these positions. They wouldn't, and I don't know how the mayor wouldn't be able to fill them before they're sworn in. And it gave the mayor the time. So that's why that was not changed back then. So I don't,
I see your point. I mean, technically the mayor elect within 30 days of assuming office has to make the appointment, right? That language is staying the same. But each of whom, so your point really is each of whom shall hold office until that, the until language is really what's objectionable, because that could be creating vacancies unnecessarily.
Or it could extend the term. It could extend the term for 30 days for somebody in the
right.
previous
position. So whom shall hold office until his or her a successor is appointed is the fix, I think.
Which is, I mean, that, which it says that. Or you could take the date out.
What did you say, Mark?
Yeah, you could take the date out altogether. It doesn't really matter.
Right. If we were to delete until the first Monday, Saturday of January, December, next succeeding the next biennial city election end, delete that whole thing. It will say, whom shall hold office until their respective successors are appointed and qualified.
Probably which would probably that. Make more sense than this did. That,
yep.
That's the only there's that lapse, and then you had somebody carrying over, and then when does their term end? When does their term start? When does it end? So it's really, you know, I think it was trying to define when their term started and the term end originally, you yep. know? So if there's a way to clean that up, and I'm for it.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, so Mark, I don't know if you
have to see it once it's cleaned up.
I don't know if I can share my screen.
I can't. Sorry. It's hard to do a bunch of things at one time. I beg your pardon. Hold on.
Am I going to have time to eat dinner before 10 o'clock tonight?
Probably not.
I know. And I'm alone, so I have nobody to make me dinner.
I'll make you dinner, Barb.
Are you seeing my screen? Because I can't tell.
Yes.
You see the language I modified, Barbara, in section 10?
Yes.
They'll hold office until the respective are appointed. Yes. I think that's better.
So that would be, let me just make this change. So this section 10 is what you would next vote on. And the change is just to point you through again, we're deleting tax collector. We're deleting this language to make it tighter. So they're gonna hold office until their respective successors are appointed. We're clarifying that it's the mayor's sole discretion to remove any officer that he or she appoints, which reason is not subject to, which decision is not subject to review. And then the rest of the paragraph we're leaving the same. So any of the references to legislative authority have been restored back to Board of Aldermen, Alderwoman.
Okay, I make a motion to accept, to recommend to the Charter Commission Section 10 as was just amended.
Second, tonight. Charlie Sampson.
All in favor?
Aye.
One discussion.
Opposed?
Oh, no, I don't oppose.
All right.
I'm for.
The mayor stepped out for a second, sorry.
Okay.
So now we're at.
All right, so just to keep you all, Section 11, Section 12, there now are no changes in either of those sections. Reference to Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen are remaining as stated. So the only changes would be to the paragraph numbers, the section numbers. And I suppose we could just do a catch-all at the end of the meeting to modify the section numbers so that they're consistent throughout the document. The new section 13, we're deleting, first of all, it was a typo, effectible, it was supposed to be effective, but we're just gonna delete that reference in the parenthetical.
I make a motion we delete
which
that.
Section?
The new section 13.
New 13.
Said, if it was a typo, instead of effective, it said effectable. Oh. And then that's the only change in there. And I believe Alderman Sampson was going to make a motion to accept that.
Second by Rob.
I haven't seen that on my... I don't even see that on my.
It's the old section.
My memo,
14.
But
it should be on the screen if I'm still sharing.
You are.
Yeah, yes, I'm looking at my papers because I wrote on mine. So the old section.
It's dual office holding. It's right in the title. It's not
it's
in the title.
Dual
office
in the
parentheses. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I see. Oh, you're talking about the parent. I'm looking at the body. I was like, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Gotcha.
All
right. Did you kindly make the motion?
You're on the discussion.
Yeah, so Mark, just a point of information. I don't know if this was a typo on my end, but the final words of section 13 say Board of Aldermen. Does the original say Aldermen, Alderwomen?
Correct.
No, said Aldermen, yeah.
It just says Board of Aldermen because that section was not approved in the last, there was changes to that and it wasn't approved. So therefore it probably should say Board of Aldermen, Board of Alderwomen.
So I'm just going to add Alderwomen in, and I would qualify that as a cleanup because it's the name of your board, right? So I'm just going to insert the words Alderwomen after Aldermen.
Excellent.
So just for purposes of completeness, you should probably move to correct the name of your board in section, the new section 13.
I will amend my original motion if Rob will take back his second, which I'm sure he will, to accept the new section 13, removing effectable the first Saturday, December, from the title and correcting Board of Aldermen to Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen.
I take back my second and add my second to the revisions.
All right, any more discussion? I'm back. Okay, hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? So carried.
All right, section four, the new section 14 is a typographical correction. We're changing dissolve to resolve. So it's the mayor shall vote to resolve such tie, not dissolve such tie.
So move, Charlie Sampson.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstained? So carried.
All right, section 15 is deals with the treasurer. We were just trying to clean up this language. I don't think it makes any meaningful change in the position of treasurer or the responsibilities of treasurer. We simply say the treasurer shall have such powers, duties, and responsibilities and shall be subject to such restrictions and limitations prescribed in general statutes as the same may be amended from time to time, and specifically state that the treasurer shall, in addition, be the agent of the city deposit fund. The only other change in there is mid-paragraph said treasurer shall, instead of in a book, we said in a record, because, you know, we may not be using books anymore. Maybe we're using electronic databases. So we thought we should update the word book to record. And everything else, that change was made twice. So wherever it referenced book, it was changed to record.
Okay, two things. Statute is spelled wrong, so statute there. And if we're referring to the Connecticut general statute, then I'd like to put the word Connecticut before general statute there. And what is the city deposit fund? I've never heard that language before. What is that actually referring to?
I believe your deposit fund is your general fund.
And technically the treasurer is the agent of the fund.
I get that, but I never heard city deposit fund language, you know, in conversation. So I'm just like, where did that, you know,
it's in
people
the statute,
know what that is.
Right. It's in the statute that way because it's old language. No, and nobody really refers to it that way. But technically,
right.
The agent
you update,
of the fund is.
If we followed the statutory language, you could simply say that you could change that to general fund.
Well, if the treasurer is following the general statutes of the Connecticut, and that's what it says in there, city deposit fund, then that's okay. But yep. I don't know what it says in the statute. So I just never saw that before. And that's just why I asked. So.
Again, it's more clarification so that, you know, so when there's conversation about who the treasurer is and what the treasurer's responsibilities are, this just kind of articulates it, refers you to the statute, and if there's ever a debate over who's the agent for the city over the fund, there's no question it's the treasurer.
Okay, any more discussion?
We didn't have a motion yet, though. So I'll make a motion that we accept the recommendation with the addition of the word Connecticut before general and correct the typographical error in statute and all other changes as proposed.
Second, Charlie.
Charlie, second. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Same. So carried.
All right, so section 16, the new section 16 deals with the town clerk's office, and the change here, we're leaving aldermen, alderwomen as stated, but what the real substantive change here is by requiring that the clerk cause copies of the ordinances to be published according to the law, but also on the website for the city. That was something that was not required. So that's what we're requiring now, that everything be put on the website.
Okay, so what you just said and what is here, what's typed here isn't the meaning, is the meaning, what you just said is the meaning I get, the way it should be worded. So wouldn't we just put in the word and, because I hear that if it is according to law, it's on the website, it's the sole publication manner.
Right, so,
manner.
So
should
right,
we
so
put
basically
in
there are three things.
To law?
The three things the city clerk must do: must publish according to law, must publish on the website, and record the same with the clerk's certification of such publication. So that we're now, it used to be just publish according to law and record the same with the clerk's certification of publication. We've inserted, so it really is publish according to law and publish on the website and record the same.
All right, so, and probably not the right word, but I shall.
We use a comma there.
Yeah, I know that, but I don't think that's grammatically the right way to say it. I'm a grammar and spelling queen. Didn't realize it yet. Okay.
Well, if you'd like.
All right. Well, then keep it that way. I'll read it again, but that's fine. Keep it that way.
Well, if you think it's ambiguous, we can say shall cause ordinances of sub city to be one, published according to the law, semicolon, two, published on the website for the city of Derby, semicolon, and comma three, record the same. We could make it more clear that way.
No, I just think it's one of those dangling things that needs to be correct, but that's okay. I mean, leave it the way it is. Leave it the way it is.
Got it. All right. So the only
change
is the website.
All right. Do you have a motion? Barbara, did you want to make a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to recommend the proposed changes as presented to section, new section 16.
I'll second that, Sarah.
All right, Sarah. Any more discussion? All right, hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? So carried. Go ahead, Ben.
All right. Section, the new section 17 is just a numbers change. The new section 18 is just a numbers change. We'll jump into new section 19, which is the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen. There's no changes that are going to be proposed there. We're going to go back to calling you the very lengthy Aldermen, Alderwomen throughout the document. So there's no, I'll come back and I'll accept the, or reject those. New section 20, there's no changes except that'll all remain the same except as to the number of the paragraph. New section 21, there are no changes except to the number of the paragraph. New section 22, 23, 24, there are no changes except to the number of the paragraph. Number 25, legislative authority. There is a change. The change in that is, if everyone has 25 in front of them, is going to be, we're going to define the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen as being the superior body in the city. So this way, the age-old question of who has the ultimate authority, the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, or the vote, will be finally settled. And there'll be no question by charter, the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, shall be the superior body in the city. That is the first change in Section 25. The second change is that the inclusion of the language that no such ordinance shall take effect until the same has been published on the website for the city and as may be required by Connecticut General Statute. So those are the two recommended changes in that paragraph.
All right.
We're going to start a war.
Can I make... What?
We're going to start a war.
Charlie, what'd you take yourself?
All right.
I'm good with it, though.
Well, then you make
just,
the motion.
And for the minutes, we have gotten over the decades legal opinions on this subject, and the legal opinions have been consistent that the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, does have the superior authority in the city. So instead of having a future city attorney having to opine, it'll be clearly stated in the charter.
I'll make a motion that we accept the wording changes in the new Section 25 as written.
Second, Ron.
All right, any more discussion?
Mr. Chair, before you go to vote from the Charter Committee, I just want to hear Attorney Marino again. It was a point of discussion of that as it came forward to you. And I thought I heard him just say that it is the superior body over the vote. Is that what you said, or did I mishear you?
No.
There's always, no, it's not the vote, the Board of Appropriation and Taxation.
Okay, just the wanted vote. To make sure.
Not the vote, the vote always reigns supreme.
You woke me up right there, all right? thank you, sorry to hold you up, thank you.
Pay attention, Carl, good job. All right,
we go. It's my New York accent kicking in.
We have a first, second. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Abstain? Still carried. Go ahead, man.
All right, new Section 26, there are no changes. New Section 27, there was some substantive changes here. And if you look at Section 27, what we're trying to do is get an approved budget, not left till the end of the fiscal year. So what we're saying is that all departments must submit by February 1st instead of April 1st of each year to the mayor rather than to the vote an estimate of the amount of the money required by such department for the coming fiscal year. And then it will be the obligation now of the mayor to submit a proposed budget to the vote on or before March 1st in each year. And then the board, the vote, will have a meeting in April of each year instead of in May of each year to prepare an estimate for the budget. And with the budget being adopted at the end of April instead of the end of May. This way we're not running up against time constraints with getting out our tax bills. Those tax bills need to be printed and mailed out by the third week of June. And so by leaving everything till the end of May, we're really putting city administration in a tough position to get those tax bills out on time. So from a process standpoint, if this section were to be adopted, is department heads submit to the mayor by February 1st. The mayor now, which position historically has not been involved in the budget process, but who is really involved with the day-to-day administration and oversight of the various departments, the mayor now will propose a budget to the boat, and then the boat will do its business like in the ordinary way, but instead of doing it in May, we'll do it in April. And the substantive change would be that the budget would be published on the city's website and as may be required by state statute. But Barbara, for consistency, I'll say Connecticut.
Yes. Yep. Connecticut general statutes, which it's other sections in this, the way it was changed. So,
Mrs. Deitch?
Mike could, all right, who's talking? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, that was Keith, but go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, Keith.
No, part of, there was originally January, but when you look at the reality of, when you get into December and the holidays, January's not really productive in the sense of having people now strapped with budget. But the second and more driving part is, when you get into your major renewals, like your medical, which is self-insurance, and your liability and property, renewal rates come out in January. They don't come out in December. So this part of this date is to allow us to capture the major cost drivers with accuracy and with renewals that are you know, submitted in the market in that time period, February, March, versus earlier, we'd be totally estimating on almost $18 million worth of our budget. So that was part of the theory of why that date is okay.
Okay. I don't have my reading of the section, I don't have a problem with changing the date because I get it. But I guess now when I read it again today, I didn't read it the way it's the intent from the recommendation from Charter Revision is. So basically, the mayor is the one who's going to, by this, gets all the departments, everybody's budget, and submits it to the tax board. So when is there, who's going to discuss with the department the request? So there's no longer a department request, you know, a budgetary, you know, the meetings and communications that the tax board has. So that's really has eliminated the department heads kind of completely. That's how I read it now. Don't know if that's the intent.
I don't think that's the intent. I think what really, first of all, having watched how the budget, you know, been put together in past years, really the driving force here, particularly with the kind of the program of getting the fiscal house in order of the city, is really for the finance director with the mayor to work with the department heads to make sure that those submissions are based upon the needs of the various departments. The boat still is going to hold its and do its work in April like it would do in May. So it would have the ability to call the departments before it in the month of April if it wanted more specificity as to anything.
Yeah, but doesn't the mayor change things in between?
The mayor, in a sense, what it does is it's supposed to make the, you know, add a second check and balance onto the fiscal oversight, because now you're putting where the mayor never had any charter requirement or obligation in the budget process. The mayor now is going to have a charter obligation under this section with respect to the budget. So it's actually adding a checks and balances so that in the first instance, it's the mayor that puts together the budget with the department heads. The mayor then submits it to the boat for review. So you should have department head level, mayor level, and then boat level. So you're actually adding a layer of review.
So the Mr. Sill?
And then the mayor finalizes that part. Then the department heads are out of it?
No.
I would say no, that the boat would have the ability to call those department heads in if they wanted to. But maybe, Keith, you have an opinion?
Yeah. No. The way it was set, Mr. Sill, is it like we have a picture of four columns on a ledger. The first column is in the budget process would be department head requests. and that gets filled in with the request.
Right.
Then the second column would be mayor's budget, where now that gets filled in, and you will see a shift in priorities or a shift in maybe some numbers based upon the mayor's priorities. Then the third column is the Board of Apportionment taxation column. Then what gets adopted is could be a myriad of those three. You know, some the board might go with the department request, they might go with the mayor's request, they might have their own request. So yes, it actually is just another step, but all three will still be visible to everybody from transparency. Because the way it is now,
because that's all we have, yeah.
But you don't, but there's no documentation for that. If you look, mayors have never been required to submit a budget, you know? That's just not required. And then you'll see all three. You'll see department head, mayor, boat. And then as the boat goes through variations, we may have more columns, boat round one, boat round two, boat round three. And that'll all be posted and transparent. So Mr. Sill, you'll see everybody. They're not submitted and they're out of it.
Well, that's different.
But
then,
didn't we have that already, Keith? I went on the green bar for a budget presentation. Wasn't it that way already? Or isn't it that way already?
We have those columns, but the mayors have never, a lot of mayors don't submit budgets because they're not required to. So the column is there, ma'am, yes, but they're not required. This institutionalized it was the mayor's got to give a budget.
So he's putting his own numbers in, or is he correcting theirs?
Well, it's a discussion, Ron. Like if a department head comes in and says, you know, I want to add two staff members, the mayor may say, I'm reducing your proposed salary line. I don't want to give you two staff members. Someone may come in and say, hey, I'm putting in for tires and their number may be too low. We go out and look at tires and we may have to add $1,000. So the mayor's budget may have $1,000 more in that line item or may have a reduction in others. And then when it goes to the boat would say, okay, where are we? Okay, what's the first question the boat's going to have is, mayor, you see you reduce this department. What's your thinking there? And then he or she would explain it. And then the boat still makes their own decision. They have the final say on the adoption. But now the mayor is submitting a formal budget, which has never been required.
So we will see original requests.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Ron. That's what gets filled in the first column now, department requests. And so, Mrs. DeGennaro's right. It used to have a column that said budget mayor recommended, but I don't
think
it
did. Yeah, it did.
Yeah. But we haven't filled that in years, and it's not required, Barb. You know what I mean?
So based upon Keith's explanation, and when I was looking at this and dealing with budgets in 10 different towns, you know, I was construing it differently. I was construing it more in a linear way of department heads to the mayor, which makes sense because the mayor kind of oversees those departments on a day-to-day basis. And then the mayor formulates a budget based upon department input
right,
and then submits that to the boat. The boat.
That's correct. That's the way it reads.
That's the way it reads. So I think then in order to clarify that and prevent future ambiguity, then we should change that the, let's see, it should say in each year, submit to said board and the mayor an estimate of the amount of the money required by such city board or such officer for the ensuing year. So this way, there's no question that it goes to both the boat and the mayor.
That makes sense because then they can weigh it out, right?
Right.
So I'm going to make that change right now.
You okay with that, Barb?
I got to see it written.
I'm going to do it right now in front of you.
I'm looking.
But in most other towns, the budgets go to the mayors.
Right. I mean, in theory, it's lineal.
At the end of the day, the mayor should be involved in it. I mean,
because
the buck stops at the mayor's desk.
So really, the only change is if you see the word February here, February, it's submit to said board and the mayor an estimate of the amount of money required by such city board or such officer for the ensuing year. This way, the raw data goes directly to the boat and doesn't get filtered by the mayor.
Right, and then the mayor has his own anyway.
Exactly.
Great, that's better.
Okay.
I think, anyway.
All right. So,
okay.
All right, so that's leaving language consistent and only adding this and the mayor in that one sentence. Otherwise, everything else is the same as presented.
We have a motion.
I'll make that in the form of a motion.
Second.
I'll second it. I'm Camille.
Okay. Any more discussion?
Yeah, just unfortunately, one click clarification. Vin, city board, by such city board, or should that be city department?
Set boards.
Down the bottom there.
No, I know. I'm reading. So lay taxes, each board. So it's each, right here, each board of the city government and each officer of the city. That's where that language is flowing from. So so it's each board of the city government and each officer of the city under whose control money is expended shall honor before the first day of April in each year submit to said board, which is really, said board is up here, which refers to the boat. This is all driven by how much cleanup you want to do here.
And guess who put said in there?
Said board. So it's submit to said board right here and the mayor.
I'm good with it. All right, Vin. Okay, Vin. All right.
Required by such city board or so. Do you see how it flows?
Yeah, I see how it flows. Yeah. And
I would do a total rewrite, but we also want to be sensitive to what the electors will
see how it goes
to accept.
I'm good with it. Move on.
All right.
All right.
And the board, said board, or such board, it might confuse us at the end of the day.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Stain.
All right.
I'm carried. Good.
All right. So now we're on section 29. We're not that we're not a philanthropic people, but we don't believe it's appropriate to have a charter requirement that we donate $1,000 to Griffin Hospital annually.
I make a motion that we take section 29 out of the charter.
Right. So the recommendation is to delete section 29.
All right. Do you have a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Well, the only question.
Go ahead, Barbara. Sorry, Barbara. Go ahead.
The only part of this that concerned me was the actual last part of the sentence, because I believe the, and I don't have it in front of me, but I know there's a number of organizations that the tax board appropriates money to. And it used to be, I think, the Boy Scout. There was a number of them.
Right.
So, is there a way to just keep something in there that would say that they just would may appropriate to a charity, take out the middle, Griffin Hospital and the Derby Neck, but not being definitive that it has to be done, but if you take it out, then does
but you can authorize that by ordinance.
Yeah, but just because it's not there doesn't mean you can't do it. But
okay.
If it's there, the way it's written right now, it's an obligation that you haven't been fulfilling.
Right. Well, I know, and the beginning of it is absolutely is an obligation. Okay. All right. Just wanted to question that.
Right. You can still be philanthropic. You're just not going to be obligated to be philanthropic.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So you just need a vote on section
29. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. So carried. Good.
All right. Section 28 and 29, just the number changes. Section 30, there's no change. I'll put legislative body authority back to Board of Aldermen, all the women. Section 31, 32, 33, 34. There are no changes. All the red lines will be put back, so there'll be no red lines except for the numbers of the sections. Tax collector, section 35. So in this one, again, as we had discussed earlier, the tax collector is now part of a collective bargaining agreement. So we're recommending that we delete the reference to the first Monday in January following the next biennial city election and until, and just basically say the tax collector shall hold his or her office until his or her successor shall be appointed and shall have qualified, and then we're adding in, unless he, she vacates his or her office or is otherwise removed from his or her office. Obviously, just because you're part of an elected bargaining unit doesn't mean you are going to be in the position. You do have the right to resign yourself, and that you may be removed for cause. So the only change in that paragraph would be the deletion of that first Monday in January language and the addition of unless he, she vacates his, her office or is otherwise removed from his, her office.
All right.
So moved. I'll make that in the form of a motion.
Second.
Second, Sarah.
Okay, discussion.
Mayor, who was that first motion? Bye.
That was Rob.
Rob,
thank you.
Mayor Charlie, I think Mark had pointed out that above in section 11, we struck out mayor.
Yeah.
Appoints a tax collector.
Hold on.
Now down here, it doesn't say who appoints it. So did we, if we took that out of the new section 10.
You know, you're right. That's a good catch. Thank you.
No, that's Mark.
So we should add here, in the event of a vacancy, the vacancy is filled by the mayor. It's just that vacancy is not filled within 30 days of his or her election.
Perfect.
All right. So I'll put here language that says,
are we putting
in the event of a vacancy in the office of tax collector, that vacancy shall be filled by the mayor within 30 days. Is that fair?
I just say by the mayor.
By the mayor. Well, all right. You don't want to put a time limitation on that?
Yeah, I would say put a time. Yeah.
You have a mayor that says we don't need a tax collector.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an essential function.
Within 30 days.
That's the mayor that's not doing their job.
You had to call it full time.
What happened to your picture, Charlie? What happened to your picture, Charlie?
Oh, you don't have one up? Where's yours?
I don't have one. I don't
have a camera. I'm buying you one.
Charlie, fix your last name.
Good job. Good job. Getting punchy. I had a piece of cornbread in between.
Now, Barbara.
The rest of my pulled pork is downstairs by what I made the other day. I have to go down and get it.
Go get it.
Focus, people.
All right. So
now I'm hungry.
I know. I'm hungry. All right. Where are we?
All right. I think that's tighter. Okay.
Do I have to my second?
In the event of a vacancy in the office of tax collector, the mayor shall fill the vacancy within 30 days.
Okay, so I'll amend my motion to include the new verbiage. The mayor will appoint a tax collector within 30 days of a vacancy.
And I'll second that, Sarah.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained. So carried.
All right. So Now we're on to new section 36. No changes. 37. There'll be no changes except as to the number of the section. 38. 39. 40. 41. 42. 43. 44. 45. 46, 47. I'm just going to stop there just for purposes of saying what the hell is he doing. There's no changes except as to the number. We're now on section 48, 49. There are no changes except as to the number. Now we're on section 50. And we're including that the assessment officer of subsidy shall also post on the website for the city of Derby, or I should say probably end in yeah. accordance with Connecticut general statutes.
Right. Or in accordance with generals. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, I would say it's on the website for the city end, A-N-D, in accordance with. Right? You don't want it to be either
right.
or.
So in reality,
our
yep. So the same language again, fixing Connecticut general statutes.
Yep.
And may I make a bold suggestion? Maybe we could delete the signpost as we yeah. don't, that I'm aware of, have one, unless anybody's been whipped on the green lately. I'm not sure.
Alan Cryer.
Right, you want to delete posting
well,
on the public
sign post on.
You don't have to, but we might. Then we'll have to get a signpost to put.
Find Raymond; he'll get it for us.
Yeah, right.
But we're just trying to say, really, like describe the the first floor there outside the town clerk's office, we're just saying on the website. Do we have to put it? Do we? I'm sure. I think it does go. It gets posted inside the building. Is that what they were?
That's the public signpost.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
It doesn't, really help anybody when, like now, we're right. closed, so it doesn't really help anybody.
No, but when yeah. you're walking past City Hall pulling your cattle, you want to be able to see notices on the public signpost.
All right, before the annually post.
The good old days.
Right. So what's the pleasure of the body? Do you want to delete that or leave it in?
Post.
Yeah. I mean,
can we say post within the not everybody, not everybody's going to go on the website. I'm just saying it's a posting inside the building. I mean, yeah, maybe okay. that's not inside.
On the public don't forget them in the building.
On the public notice board.
What did you say, Ron?
On the public notice boards in City Hall, We call them.
Why don't we just say public? Post publicly.
Yeah, because I'm just going to say that post public. Yeah, post publicly right. in said city could be somewhere. Yes.
Right, because if anywhere, down, if City Hall is shut down, you can't get access to it. Maybe you put it on the door.
And don't forget, right. in accordance with the statute, requires the legal notice right now. The website is just in addition to the legal notice that is required.
Right.
Okay. And then we are deleting. So if the statute does not require publication in a newspaper, we're deleting that now.
It does, though, at this point. It does. So,
right. I just want to make sure everyone's aware of that.
Yeah.
All right.
Can I interject here?
Sure. Go ahead.
We pay a lot of money for these notices and publications and legal notices because I post all of them. And if we could ever just do it like somewhat, I mean, it's thousands and thousands of dollars we spend for the New Haven Register that no one buys, that it's online, but there has to be a more cost-efficient way to post these notices.
And that's why we want And that's why we want this language to read this way, so when they change the state statute.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I just want to make it sure that it's like, so we eliminate it, so, but just to get out the word that, so we cover all our bases, that people notice it, and that we put it here, but it, God forbid, we miss one place where we post it, and so I just want to make sure we have it all covered.
Well, we have to, unfortunately, Patty, at this point, if there's a, if it says by publication in newspaper by statute, we got to do it. So I hear you. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, we're all on the same page.
Finn, can you change the when you do it, capital G, capital S, the general statutes throughout?
Yep, I'll do that. And just as, as a side note, should this pass, I'm going to be coming to the tax board and the Board of Aldermen requesting support, and then petitioning our state reps and our in Hartford to bring this to the floor in the state to have the state statute amended. So hopefully we can, you know, start saving a few dollars, more than a few dollars, as Patty would say. So
right, very good,
Rob. Okay, all right. So do we have a motion or no? We have a motion yet?
No. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to recommend to Charter Commission to make changes to the new Section 50.
All right, do I have a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? So carried. Good.
All right, Section 51, 52 is just changing the section number.
No, wait,
number.
Hang on, Vin. Yeah, Vin, no, yep. Number, go back to 50, go back to the new, it was missed, that's all. There's a couple coming up that were missed. So in the new Section 51, it refers to Section 51 of the Charter, so that would have to be changed to Section 50.
Actually,
in the first sentence,
it would be 49. Right, because
no,
it's the provisions of 51. The old 51 is now new 49.
Yes, because we deleted.
Yep.
Thank you, Barbara, for catching that.
Okay. And there's another one that's going to come up when we get to 57, but I'll wait till we get there. So.
All right. So. The next change is in the new Section 53, and that is just allowing the president of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, the chairperson of the vote, and the city treasurer to send their designees to participate in the Board of Assessment Appeals. So that in the event that either of these individual position holders are not capable of participating in the BA, that you can still proceed with the work, but it would be with their designee.
Right. And have participation, right, good.
Can we have a form of the motion?
So moved, George DiMartino.
Second.
Second, Rob.
Any discussion?
Let me see here. I lost myself again here.
While Barb's finding herself, my only question
is... I'm finding
is,
myself.
I get the boat. I get the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, but what's the intent of the city treasurer's designee? Would that be... Because they don't have anybody under them.
Well, just as a point of information, we're not clarifying who any of... We're assuming... that the president of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, would designate someone else from the board.
Right.
This doesn't say that, right? They could they could send their spouse, right? So same with the boat. We're not saying it has to be a member of that board. We're assuming, we're making an assumption here that in all things remaining constant, that they would do the right thing and send another elected official. You might want to tighten that up.
All right, so that was what I was going to say. And Charlie, are you done or no? Because I had a question of Vin.
No, I'm all set.
Vin, is, and I didn't look back, but states, The Board of Assessment of Appeals is bound by state statute, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is the makeup bound by state statute, or is just the way, does it say you have to have somebody from the Board of Aldermen? And again, it should be a designee from one of those boards. I never realized we had a problem in all the years with this, but is there a makeup requirement by state statute that we're complying with, or we're complying to our own?
Well, right now we're applying to our own.
Okay.
So let me just see if I can quickly find the statutory.
Okay. And while you do that, Tommy lost battery. So Tommy lost his phone battery. So you don't see his name. He's not on. So I just want to let you guys know that.
Did he come over or send you that text from his phone?
No. Well, he sent me a text, but I don't know how he did. Because he told me that his battery was low. He sent me a text.
How about the phone battery?
He said, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how he did it, but, you know, I know.
They're just jabbing him.
He could come over, but, you know, I don't know how he's going to get on my cell phone.
It's socially distanced that way.
Was that to put it on speaker? How did he text me then?
He knew.
I guess his wife isn't home to assist him.
Sessions of the Board of. All right, Board of. They shall meet at least once in the month of September.
Where are we?
Okay. 12-110. Let me see if there's.
Yeah.
About the board.
I think he'll be back soon. I don't know where the hell he was, but now he's saying he's going to go to a plug.
Now they meet in April.
Powers of the board, initiation, Gravis of the board holds an important position. Defined. All right. The Board of Assessment Appeals and official. The board is not. You know what, Barbara? I'm going to have to look. I don't want to hold you up, but on this. I'm going to have to look to see if the statute defines the makeup of the board. Most of the times it will say it must be, you know, 3, 5, 7, or 9, but I'm not finding it quickly.
Oh, we are going to clarify, president of the board shall pick another alderman, president of board vote shall pick another tax board member, right?
Right. So what I changed is, or their respective designees, which designees shall be a member of each respective board.
Yep.
But there is no board for
and
treasurer.
What about the treasurer?
Treasurer, we got to figure out. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's where state statute was.
I would think the city treasurer has to be part of it. I don't know that there's anybody that could take that position, that role, I should say.
Right. And they've never had a problem with it. And I think if they had to change it.
Could we change it for the a designee for the tax board chair and the Board of Aldermen president, and then just leave the city treasurer as is?
Yep.
I would say that.
Yep.
I agree. Yep.
What I'm going to do is take that. I'm going to
move it.
That
cut
there.
It. Yeah.
So it'll be the board president, the chairperson of the vote, or their respective designees, which designee shall be a member of
respective.
Yep.
Of
got
each
it.
Respective good board.
Job. Yep.
Comma. And the city chair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Perfect.
So it's a 3-member board.
Right.
All right. So you just need to adopt that new section 53.
Yeah. Former motion.
So move, Ron.
Second, Charlie.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Same, so carried.
All right.
Okay, before we go on, Vin, Mark, can you, Tommy's back on, but he's saying he can't hear, so I just told him to star 6. Oh, wait, he's coming on now. Okay, he's there. Tommy, you there?
I'm on it again. Sorry, I lost power.
Okay. All right.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
Boom. Right.
I'm sorry, Tommy came back and my internet's now unstable. all right, so really, just as he came back, it says unstable. I never saw that before. Finance Committee, Section 54. What we're saying is the Finance Committee in said city shall consist of 2 electors.
Thank
we shall hold office. Who shall be appointed by the mayor and who shall hold office for a term of 2 years from. You want to do the same modification we did last time and delete who shall hold office until their successors are appointed?
Yes, because that prior section is the appointment, the mayor appoints them within the 30 days. It's, yep, I would say yes. I would suggest that.
All right, so if you see the change I just did on your screen, that would be the new modification to Section 54.
Okay, I'll make a recommendation. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if that's agreeable, we just need a motion to accept it.
Okay. I'll make a motion to recommend to the Charter Revision to accept Section 54 as amended tonight.
Have a second?
Second, Joe DiMartino.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? So carried.
All right.
Okay, then, this is the next section. The next section has to change the number within it. And there's a typo. So it had no changes. The new section 57. The third line down, there's a
But new 55 and new 66, there are no changes, right?
The new, all right, so we just did section 54, which is the old section 56.
Right.
Now we're talking about the new section 55, which is the old section 57.
57, right.
No changes.
All right.
Well, there is a change there.
There's
a dollar signs added.
There's 2 changes. There's line 3 down. There's 2 S's. Services.
Between services.
Services, there's 2 S's.
Delete that.
And then you have to change the section number. Go like 4 more lines down. Yep, so 57 now should be, what's the number should be?
Well, the 57 is 57.
Right.
So that should be 55.
Right. Correct. Yep. And at the end of the section, there's a,
'54.
So there was a section 56, which would have been.
It's 54 now.
54, which was no, that's the Finance Committee. That's not right. I think this was wrong. Any provision of the waiving of the bid, any bid. So it should be 55.
Yes.
The same section, I think.
I think you're right.
What number? Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Any person, yeah, maybe wait. Yes. This section. Yep.
Yep. You want to change that to say any provision of this section instead of section 55? It's kind of weird to reference
your own.
Yeah, I think it was, you know what, Vin, I think what happened was, I recall, it was probably because that was what was, that was there, and it wasn't, you know, we changed the parameters of the dollar amount okay. in the last charter revision, and I think because it was just there, and it didn't, it got overlooked. Bless you, whoever sneezed.
Thank you.
So I'm simply going to delete that then and just simply say this section.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Thank you for catching that.
There's also two dollar signs that were added to that section as well for the $2,500.
Yep. Yep.
So if there are no other catches, then we would just need a motion to accept as modified.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? So carried.
Where's the $2 signs? I'm sorry, which section is that? Section 50, the new section 55.
New section 55.
There's $2.
Right before the 2,500. 2,500 didn't have a dollar sign. The two 2,500 didn't have a dollar sign.
I got it.
Did not have one.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right. Now we're getting to 50, new 56, new 57. New 58.
No,
new 59. All those sections stay the same except for the change in number. New section 60, 61, 62.
All right, hold on. Section 61. The new 61.
Yep.
The second, the first sentence. Last word says the duties of the office according to JAW. I think
I saw that now.
Say
that
law.
Good
I
catch.
Think it's supposed to say law.
Good catch.
All right. That'll fall under the typographical catch all. Do you want to vote on that specifically?
No.
Okay.
now we're up to 66, no change. 67, no change. 68.
But hang on. Did we change 67? 67 is the board of.
Ed.
Wait a minute. The new six. What are we on? New 67 new 60, or old 67?
New 65.
New 65. Oh, 67.
All right. New 65. That's. I'm still using the numbers that were on here, so that's why I'm a little bit.
Right. Which number are you looking at, Barb?
I'm looking at.
Right there.
It was the original charter 67 and the new 65 as it was presented to us tonight.
Yes.
So the Board of Ed, that if they have to submit their budget, that April got to change.
The February. Got
to go to
February,
the date that was in the other ones,
oh,
the
catch.
Previous sections, correct?
Oh, good catch. Thank you. All right.
Okay.
Then do you want to vote on 65 as amended?
Was there another change in that?
Yeah, Mark.
Yes, Counselor.
Mark had asked for another change.
In line two, it says, and the clerk shall, and that should say, and the finance director shall.
Yep.
I think I just did something.
My stomach can't hold out much longer.
Okay.
Make a motion we accept as amended.
Second, Kara.
All right, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? So carried.
All right. And Mark, can you just clarify the old section 68, new section 66? It looks like there was a dangling alderman, alderwomen. Is that as printed?
Yeah.
So we're just going to keep that deleted?
Correct.
Okay. So I don't know why that was there. All right. So new 66. So
go ahead, Vin. Sorry.
No, so 66, the only change is we're deleting the last two words, which says alderman, alderwomen, which don't know why that's there.
Because we control the roads.
I think it was just a dangling.
Oh, wait, I'm in the wrong thing again. All right, 35.
30. You see us at 66, Mark?
Yeah, I'm on. I turned my page. I didn't turn my page. I got it. Yep, I got it. Okay. Oh, I see. Yep, I got it.
So we're going to delete that. Then 67, no change. 68, we're requiring that publication of such assessment be put on the website and in accordance with Connecticut general statutes.
Yep.
All right. And we're deleting the requirement that it be published in the New Haven Register or New Haven County newspaper specifically, but only as required by general statutes.
Perfect.
Okay, so you want to adopt 68?
A motion.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Barbara.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So carried.
All right, 69, no change. 70, no change. 71, no change. 72, no change. 73, 74, 75, 76, no change. Except as to the numbers of the sections.
Correct.
77, no change. 78, no change. 79, no change, except as to the numbers. 80, no change. 81, no change. 82, no change. 83, no change. 84, no change. 85, no change. 86, no change, except as to the numbers. 87, no change, except as to
the numbers.
There's one change, yeah.
There's one change.
87.
87, the last sentence, if you could pull that one up.
In the first paragraph.
No, the last.
No, paragraph. Second paragraph. Second paragraph.
No, the first one, sorry.
Oh, no, the first paragraph, yep.
That last sentence.
Just take out shall begin with the first selection, which occurs after January 2003. So ended at
that should be deleted.
Number three.
Should be deleted. Yeah.
The whole last sentence could be deleted.
Deleted.
Yeah.
Patty, we going too fast for you?
Patty, we'll send this to you.
Now I'm keeping up.
No, I mean, if you want us to slow down and take our time.
Oh, no. I've been here since,
All right.
We have a motion
infrastructure
accept.
So moved. Do we accept this section deleting the last sentence of the first paragraph?
Second. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Aye.
Abstained? So carried.
All right. So you want to go back and review everything again?
No.
All right, Mark.
Yeah, don't lose your sense of humor.
Back to us.
I will email this to you and Patty, Mark.
Okay. And I updated the spreadsheet too, so we'll coordinate everything.
Quite frankly, I'll just send it to everyone. So if you all want to take a look at it on your own, you get the pleasure of doing so.
Great.
Can I just ask a question or maybe suggest something? I know it's going to go back. It's going back to Charter Revision Committee, then come back to us. So I would assume when we talked about this early on, Vin, before you came on, that the questions would be, probably should be revised. But can I suggest in the questions when they come back to us, that the section, if you're talking about a specific section of the charter, that it be in the question, because the public is not going to have any idea. They could read a question, but without looking at that specific section, it would be a great reference to. And I know we did that the last time. It makes sense to me, because I know where to look, but Joe Public doesn't know where to look. So if you're talking about the elected term from 2 to 4 years, refer to the section in the question. I mean, I know we have the ultimate, decision on the questions that are going to go to the ballot, but I'm just, Robbie, in the committee there, could just, and you consider that.
We can make those changes.
And Ms. DeGennaro, in past things, didn't we just use to publish the questions beforehand, before they went out? So the voters had an idea.
We vote on, right. Yeah, we end up, when the questions are formulated, the Board of Aldermen,
so they have a good idea.
We vote on
what
the questions are, right, and then
you have the authority to also adopt what they call explanatory text, which will give like a
summary. Yes, correct.
Right.
Correct.
There is also one issue, though. I made a note and we kept going here. If we could, is it possible to go back to section 4? Because I just had a question, because my note seems to conflict with the way I'm reading this now. We go back to section 4.
Yep.
And that new section D, because my notes had in it the intent of the Charter Revision Commission was to require residency to run and to serve in local office. But now that I'm reading this, it says that you can't take office. So I just want to ask counsel, because he wrote that. So is the idea you can only run if you say live in the ward or live in town?
Right. So, I mean, no person who is not at the time of his or her election a qualified resident elector shall be eligible for election. You want to say no person who is not at the time of his or her
candidacy?
Well, my note is different than the way it reads, and I thought that's right. How they had discussed it, that you had to live in town in order to run and to serve.
So, well, that's the intent. You want to have resident electors running for office, holding office, and remaining residency while in office.
Right. But that change does not specifically say holding office. So after 4 election to any city office or to hold any elected city office.
Well, but section D doesn't say
that's
you can't
qualify. That's the qualified person. That's the qualified.
It doesn't say you can't run it. It says at the time of his or her election. So that would presume they could run. I'm not quite sure that's what the intent of the commission was, but the members could speak.
So his or her, how about his or her candidacy?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Or election. To city office. I know. That's what my friend the left-wing does. So no person who is not at the time of his or her candidacy for election to city office.
Or nomination?
Nomination.
Yeah. Yeah, but you could be nominated and not be the candidate.
Well, whatever the right word is, I'll leave that.
We can play with this a little bit, but this is the intent of the body?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Any other glaring things we should discuss before we end this discussion?
It's called a night.
Oh, we can go 4 more minutes to make it 2.5.
I just want to make one further point. I'm going to just try and get the Charter Commission to meet early next week, and if we can possibly have another special meeting on the night of our subcommittee on the 27th, because this needs to go to the state by September 3rd. So we're kind of crunched for time. So I'm going to see if we can get the Charter Commission to meet either this weekend or Monday, and then get it back to the Board of Aldermen for the following or for next week.
That's
then
fine.
It's got the questions got to be done. Everything to get to the state, everything needs to be done. So
correct, right, yeah.
The sections and the questions need to be done.
Correct, yep.
All right.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ron.
Okay, Ron. Motion to adjourn, 9:27.
Second.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job.
All right, take care.
Good job, you guys. Great job.
Thanks. Take care. Stay safe.
Happy anniversary, Ron. Bye. Bye. And tell Joyce.
Okay.
Enjoy your dinner, Barb.
Yeah.